It's just an appearance. There's no reason to think anything. Because Satan has all that power too. It's not like the devil can't use the television. Satan, there's one thing I'm not going to let you do.
What's that, God?
You can't use TV. Oh! I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Satan can't use it. It's more like this. Satan?
Yes, Lord.
Ah, this television thing. I'm going to give you control of the whole thing.
Even the people who preach the word of God on television?
Especially those people. And I say that a little carelessly because I don't know everyone who's on television. But from what I remember, and I haven't watched television in... Except incidentally at the houses of other people when they had television on, because I don't have a broadcast television. I have observed a few things on YouTube of people, but they're still the same pretty much. You know, sharp suit, sharp looking. These people have money. They make money. They're getting wealthy. If I was making as much money as they make, if I made, you know, $70,000 a year, which is, I think, 1 year I made that much when I was working two jobs. And there were other factors in that as well. But but I never made any money for ministry. Except a little here, a little there. Very little here, very little there. But, if I was making that much money just off of ministering, I would feel like I was robbing people. I'd feel like I was robbing myself. And then living high on the hog. And from what I understand, a lot of ministers make that much. Just little pastors in little churches make a lot of money. You think about it, they come in on Sunday and maybe you get 50 people, even if you get like only 50 people, and they're each given $20. That's what, that adds up, that's like $1,000 a week, or is that $20? Yeah, you know, and you figure in that there's families and stuff, and you know, people give $100, you know, I remember I used to give a significant amount of church, and I never regretted it. I'm just saying though, and because I know that minister wasn't making himself fat off of it, he had another job. And not that ministers shouldn't make money off working in the Word of God. I think that's fine. I simply don't, though, you know. And also, understand this, that making more money off ministering is not a sign of God's favor. That's one thing I want you to understand. That it is right that those who preach the Word should live of the Word. But it's one thing to live, meaning to, you know, well, I get enough to eat and to clothe myself and to house my family. But it's another thing to do that in style. I mean, man, I got a Mercedes. I got a $200,000 house. I've got a this, a that. You know, everything is luxury. They've got their suits. They're living well. God is good. They're not suffering for Christ. And people who make their boast and appearance, and this, oh, glory, is not the usual word for kaukima, which is boasting. You know, they want to give them something to boast on the behalf of Paul instead of those who boast in appearance. You know, they make a big deal about what things look like. And that's how some people, they see, and I'll tell you why, it's so true, people see a big church, right? With a big band and a fancy sound system, and man, you just have to build one of those and people start coming. What's it all about? Let's go. The glory in appearance. You know? I don't even have a church for people to go to. I've got nothing. All I've got is this. And I don't want to bring myself into this constantly. I guess when you study the word, you begin to think about yourself because it's concerned with yourself. It's yourself you want to save. That's why I believed. I believed so that I might be saved. I can't save other people. the best I can do for other people is to myself get as far along in this walk as I can ahead of them so that I could be prepared to help them. For whether we be beside ourselves, this is like to be beside yourself is like to be insane, you know. It is to God, or whether we be sober. It is for your cause. And I think those things are supposed to be equivalent things. If we're crazy, I guess that's a matter for God to consider. Or whether we be sober, it's for, you know, whatever we do, it is for you. And for the cause of the Lord. It is to God and for the cause of the believer that they would do whatever they were doing. You know? Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but in him which died for them and rose again. And again, a lot of times I feel like all is extended beyond the sense in which it's being used. Because it was never used in the sense of a universal salvation. At least I don't, you know, I know there are some people who believe in the universal salvation and all that. I don't. God knew who he was dying for. All that he died for were dead. They were dead in their sins. Because he had to, everyone who he needed to die for had to be dead. Because if they weren't already dead, he would not have had to die. We were all dead in sins and trespasses. He that died for all, that they should live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's the idea. We are not to live. Christ didn't die for us that we should just live hedonistic, self-centered lives for ourselves, to enrich ourselves, to please ourselves. We are to live to become pleasing to him and to become conformed to his image. And that's exactly what he's saying here. And I think this is a mistake a lot of people in Christianity. It's just, you know, the thing is, people say, well, how do I do that? And it's very simple. It's given to you to do it.